Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And I put a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we are blessed to have Pastor Steve Lee here with us once again, and we are thankful that each of you are tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Tonight we have the everlasting love of God, and that's going to be the subject of tonight's teaching, and it's being brought forth by Pastor Steve. So that being said, as always, I do encourage you, please grab pencil, paper, pen, notepads, whatever you may need as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on the everlasting love of God. Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Well, brothers and sisters, let's just pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victories in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, you know, I was kind of yesterday and just meditating and enjoying God. It was I had a very long day in ministry. And I was just enjoying his presence. You know, it's good to do the thing that you were ordained to do. You know, I was driving today and thinking about that again. And it's just interesting because I have been in ministry now for over half of my life. The only thing that I've done longer than ministry would be as a musician, play drums. And then I was kind of asking God, you know, I was saying, you know, is it ever going to equal out? And God said to me that I was ordained as a prophet. I chose to play drums. So the ministry was in me from the beginning. The calling of God didn't change just because I decided to go another way. And what we would need to do is to tap back into the thing purpose ordained for us. See, God doesn't do things accidentally. He does things on purpose, by purpose. And when we find and connect with purpose, then everything that was ordained begins to flourish in our lives. This is the everlasting love of God. As I think of the everlasting love of God, I'm reminded that he invited us into his love, into his grace, into his peace, into his life. God did not need us so that he can be complete, because he is the eternal God. He did not need us in order to have fellowship. Was he lonely? No. He's the sufficient, the self-sufficient God. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, we hear these words that Jesus said in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. See, before we know we needed something, he already had provided it, and it was in him. He said, I am the one that was and is to come. See, he invited us into that which was already existing. He invited us into himself, into his life. See, I mean, we need to really grasp that. We some kind of way think that, you know, our life is our own. But no, it's not. That's why you will hear phrases that says, if you have breath, praise, because you could have just as easily been made a rock, okay, which doesn't have breath, which doesn't have life. But when you take a breath, that lets you know it was not in your control. God had a plan. Purpose was already involved in the process. See, that's why we need to get back to that. And because we get busy and because we might have a certain modicum of joy in what we do, we would think that that's our life. No, beloved. In him you live. In him you move. In him you have your being. Neither one of those said anything about a job. See? Your job is not the thing that causes your life. That's the favor of God extended through mankind. See? Your boss, or even if you are your own boss, that is a favor that God extended towards you. But he is the one that wants you to enjoy the life that he has and the life that he has for you. See? We're not an experiment. God was not just conducting some kind of experiment so he can find out how the whole thing works. No, he is he's omnipotent. He's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Okay, he is God. So he just invited us to enjoy life with him. And then he wanted us to enjoy it at his level, with nothing missing, nothing broken, in fullness, abundance, and overflow. See? We can take the life and activate it in the earth. That's what he wants us to do. He released life in the earth. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 just to kind of remember this, and in chapter 2. See, he called us into what already was. I mean, you do remember how the whole thing happened, that in Genesis chapter 1, he created things. And he created it. It's interesting when I think about it. See, he put life there. Okay? It was already there. I went over this before, but maybe we just didn't get it. Let's go to start of Genesis chapter 2. Because, see, we've been given... I'm quoting Genesis chapter 1:26, and then we'll just kind of follow that. But God told us to take the life that was already in the earth and then activate that life so that we would enjoy it. Okay? In verse 26, he said, I'm going to go to verse 24. Just to make another point here. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind. So life was already here. And creeping things and the beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, the cattle after its kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw it was good. And then he said, while life was already here, he said, now let us make a higher level of life to connect with us. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He said, let them have dominion. He did not say, let them make dominion. See, if my life was all about me doing it, then I would have to make it. God did not invite me into something I had to make. He said, let them have, let them enjoy, let them participate in what we've already done. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he them, male and female created he them. And then God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. None of those things are what you would initiate, because this stuff was already here. He asks us to manage it, if you would, to oversee it. See? He told us to replenish. He did not tell us to plenish. See? I mean, we need to get that. When we think about the love of God, it was already in place. You were created and birthed out of love. See? You were not an experiment. You were not an accident. You were birthed out of love. God said, let us make man in our image. God, see, the way things work in heaven is the Father always pours into the Son, and the Son always pours into the Spirit, and the Spirit always pours into the Father, and it continues forever. They are always emptying themselves of themselves in themselves.
Glory to God. And God said, let's make man with the same concept, that they would want to empty themselves and enjoy what we have. We created things out of the love that's in us. And I want them to be able to live life and release love into the things that we put in the earth so that they can get the same joy out of it, recycling even through them. Okay, and that's just good for you to know, that you're not trying to get God to do something he was not interested in doing. I know sometimes we try to think we're coercing God and getting him to do what he didn't want to do. He wanted to bless. That's why he said, let us make man so that they can be invited into the same life that he is. See? So when we get an understanding from that, and this is an everlasting love, so then really you cannot mess it up. You cannot participate if you don't want to, but you still cannot mess up the love of God. Because Jesus said, I am the Lord that was and is to come. You can't stop that. You know, I appreciate, I really do appreciate the thought and concept that we have about, you know, trying to not destroy the earth. That's not your ability. You don't go that high. Because the earth was made out of that same love. God said, let me be. Basically, literally, he said, me be, light be. And there was light. See? So then the only way the earth is going to be destroyed, it can't be, okay, it's pretty evident in that scripture that darkness cannot destroy the earth, because when God visited the earth, it was already dark and void. It was not destroyed. Okay, do you get that? See, when the Lord kicked the devil out of heaven and he ended up landing on earth, immediately life was no longer there, because God's presence wasn't there. He was banished to a place where God said, I'm not going to inhabit right now. So then all life was over. It was void. It was without form. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Okay. And I know that we think that would be water, but it was the face of wherever the enemy was able to land, to reside. Okay? Darkness was everywhere. And so then God said, let there be light, or me be. And so he wants us to enjoy that same explosive life that happens when he inhabits. Okay? That's the love of God. The earth was formed out of that same love. You were formed, created out of that same love. Okay? So then you get to have dominion, not make it. Okay? These were instructions, and this is the interesting part. These were instructions. They were instructions not for toil, but for ease and contentment. God wanted us to be able to enjoy the process that he lives in. See? Of saying a thing and it comes to pass. Of causing a thing to enjoy activity because of words that were released in faith. Okay? So, I mean, we need to get that. We need to get that in our understanding. That helps us not to think that we're messing things up so bad that it can't be fixed. Since faith made it, and love is the thing that causes faith to work, then if I would release love in my life, my faith would be active, and the things would then be changed into that which will be a blessing to me. Because that love is still in the earth. It's housed here. Faith is in every man. The Bible says he's given to every man the measure of faith. Faith abides there. Is it used? Maybe not. We can have faith in failure. We can have faith in fear. See, you can house faith or look at faith from the perspective of anything other than love. But if you want your faith to work accurately, it works by love. Okay. See, and so then when you function in the earth and love is the everlasting love of God is what is active, then you get God's original intent flowing through your life. Fear was not part of God's original intent for you. Fear came into existence in our understanding because we disobeyed. And then they immediately began to hide themselves from the one that was supplying everything that they ever thought about needing. Okay? He even supplied stuff that we didn't know we needed. That's why God made the determination that it's not good for man to be alone. Adam did not ask for Eve. God said it's not good for him not to have companionship. He had everything that he could possibly want, but companionship gives him the ability to pour out of himself into somebody that is part of him. Okay, let's go here. Let me just show you some of these things. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 2. Okay, just so, again, we're just going to go put this out there, study it when you get a chance, okay? It says, and these were the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the days of the Lord made the heavens, the earth and the heavens. And I want you to notice this right here. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, the Lord created the heavens and the earth and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. And every green herb before it grew. For the Lord had not caused the rain to come upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And listen at this. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Who made the tree grow? It was not the man's tilling the ground. It was not the man's keeping the landscape. The Lord did this. The reason I'm making that point is because everything the man needed and was going to work with was already in the earth, okay? Before the plant grew, the Lord put it in the earth, okay? So then just like that, your supply, beloved, for everything that you need, he put it in your life before you were here. Because he wants you to know that. That's why Jesus said things like, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Because everything that you need comes out. The bird, he told us to consider the birds of the field. They don't go to the store trying to buy clothes. Their clothing grows from the inside out. Okay? So everything that you need for your life, God put it in you. But you can't cause it to become active correctly if love is not the thing that you're using to cause it to become alive. Again, if you're going to use fear to try to live life because the thing that you feared the most came upon you, okay, it doesn't work well for you. And that's what the devil has been trying to cause us to think. I mean, there are people, beloved, that are saved and sanctified and have a thought that says things just don't work out for me. Everything always goes wrong for me. See, that's not love being shed abroad in your heart, being released into your life. That's fear. That's failures and things that haven't gone right becoming the thing that you release instead of faith. That works by love. Okay? See, I'm just trying to get us back. This is his original intent. Okay? And you got to remember, Jesus said, I was, I am, and I am to come. Who was and is to come. So then at any place in your life, you are dealing with a was, or is to come. And Jesus said, I am he that can take you from what was to what is to come. I can take you from the mess, darkness covering the face of the earth. I can take you to what is, because the earth brought forth and budded. And I can take you to what is to come, if you would allow me, if you will enter into the love of God from that perspective. See, that you are unstoppable, beloved, because God has set his love upon you. You are unstoppable. The enemy cannot cause you to live in defeat. You are the only one that causes you to live in defeat. Because he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's not going to. He hath blessed you. He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, you are unstoppable. But we look at things from through the filters of fear and lack and worry and frustration, instead of saying, no. God has given love to cause me to win. And love, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, it never fails. It didn't say in love works most of the time. He said love never fails. So this eternal love is guaranteeing you a victory, because that's the way he thinks about you. He made you. Okay, come on. We just read it. He made you to have dominion. Wow. He did not make you to have questions. He made you to have dominion. He made you to replenish. See, he did not make you for frustration. I don't see frustration in any of the original intent of God. Let them have dominion. Let them replenish. Let them subdue. I just don't see any frustration in that. See? And then again, it says in verse 9, that out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All of these things he put there so that you would be able to participate in life the way he knows it and lives it. He put the knowledge of good and evil there, but you were already made and created and living in. Okay, come on. Just so we get this. Okay, all right. We'll just back it up right here. It says, and the Lord planted, verse 8, a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. He put you in life, blessing, abundance, fullness, overflow. He put you in that. He put you in that which was good. In fact, it said when he put you there, he said it was very good. So he put you there. Then he gave you choices while you're there. Okay? I just want you to kind of get that. See, he told you not to eat from this tree. Choice. But he put you in everything that was good. That's the everlasting love of God. See? So then, since that's everlasting, and I just think everlasting, eternal, that means it has to have been working prior to my getting here. So then if I can get back to what is eternal, what is everlasting, no matter what I'm faced with, what he put here for me in the beginning will sustain me. Okay? So your choices determine, okay, we'll do this. Where he placed you is the dictates from heaven. What you choose determines how you live. But God said from the beginning, let him have dominion. Let him be fruitful. Let him replenish. Let him subdue. If I choose not to replenish, if I choose not to allow my faith to activate the things that are already here in the earth, that's my deal. Didn't change God's will at all. Okay? If I choose not to subdue the things in my life, that's my choice. But God's will for me is to subdue, is to be fruitful, is to multiply, is to replenish. That's his plan. That's what he wants to see. What I choose, whole nother place. Okay? And then look at this. Go on down a little bit, because then it starts talking about all the things that were just good. These four rivers, one of them was in the land of gold, that was good, and one of them was onyx stones, the precious stones, the one that was abundance. These are the names. That's what it means in here. Ooh, glory to God. But then it says that after these four rivers, which puts you back in the place of abundance, overflow and fullness. Okay? He said, after you get this, now that you understand, have a concept of that. Come on, y'all. He put the man here, and you can see where he put the man. There was flowing, abundance, fullness, and overflow. That was there. Okay? And then he says, now the Lord God took the man and put him in the middle of that and said, dress it and keep it. Okay? He did not say, okay, see, again, this is before toil entered in. Okay? He said, all you got to do, man, is to dress it, present it the right way, keep it working the right way. That's all you got to do. He didn't say you had to make it work. It's already working. Keep it working. Keep it presented. Okay? I mean, however you dress. Okay, please, look at this. Just look at this. He told the man, dress it and keep it. So then, however you dress your life, God's not mad at you because he gave you the authority to do that. If you choose to live in the place of abundance, under lack, that's your choice. That's the way you dressed it. See? That's the way you presented it. Okay? It was not presented to you that way. He told you, dress it and keep it. Your presentation of what I gave to you now is the way you're going to live. I'm hoping you're getting this. See, so that if you are ending up being sick and tired, that's because you keep putting sick and tired on your life. You don't have to do that because you were placed in abundance, overflow, fullness. You were placed in it. The thoughts that God has for you are thoughts of abundance, overflow, fullness. Those are his thoughts towards you. He puts you in that place. Okay? He did not put you in lack. He put you in a place where, as you just read, he put you in a place where four rivers come together. Okay. The reason that that's good is because if I've got rivers that are converging, then the convergence of the rivers causes a stirring so that everything in the rivers can now be brought up to the top so that I can enjoy it. Okay. And God told the man, just dress this. Present this correctly. Keep this. It's already working. He didn't say start this. He said keep it. Okay. So I just want you to kind of get that. God called you into a finished work. Okay. He called you into something that was already working. And he wants you to be a co-laborer with him. Watch this. Verse 19. Show you how this was without toil. The way God put you there, he wanted to be in a co-laborer with you. Watch this, verse 19. And out of the Lord God, okay, this is when I was talking about Eve, because he said, it's not good. The Lord said in verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I just want you to see, God gave Adam a job, and the job was to name everything in the earth. And then God brought everything to Adam to see what he would call it. And whatever Adam called it is what's the name of it. I want you to see that. I mean, how good is that? He gives you a job, and then he helps you get the job done. He assures that you get the job done. It didn't say God brought him five or six animals. It said, and the Lord brought every one of them to him. The Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them. That them would have to include every, wouldn't it? And just in case I didn't, you thought I missed it, and to see what Adam would call them, and whatever Adam called every living creature. So then the process was, I got work to do here, God, and God says, I know I'm going to make sure it gets done. I'm going to bring it to you. See, God invited us into perfection. He invited us into his life, and then he wants us to invite him into our work. Well, you can write that one down. That's just real good. He invited us into a finished work, and he's waiting on us to invite him into the finished work that he started. We're supposed to be co-laborers. That's what I said. We're supposed to be co-laborers with God, not cold laborers. Those that are insensitive to the Spirit of God. Those that don't even like his plans, his ways. They don't take the time to understand his love. That would be a cold labor, a cold, C-O-L-D, cold, frigid laborer. One that's insensitive to God. See, we were not created spiritually dead. We were created to be in tune with the Spirit of the living God. So that whatever he wants to get done, he will bring that to us, and we will get it done. He wants us to be able to get to the place where satisfaction happens because the work is done. The Bible teaches us that, that when you accomplish a dream, it's sweet to the soul. It's a good thing. So then God wants to make sure that you enjoy that that experience of seeing something brought to fruition. So then the way to get it done is to include him in it because he has a track record of whatever and zero. See? I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the same love that started the whole thing was there before there was a job. The love was first. Then there was a job, and then love is going to be the thing that helps you get the job done. Love was there before Adam had a wife to share love with. When you don't understand God, here's something I'll just, you know, give you. You can write this one down too. When you don't understand, then go with what you know, not what you think. Love started it. So then love has to finish it, doesn't it? When you don't understand what's happening, then go back to what you do, what you know. Love started. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See? Love started it. So then if love started it, love has the ability to finish it. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Christ. Sometimes we think that there are things that are not going right and the way we want them to, and so then we must be out of the will of God, and we can't find out how to do it. Okay? Please understand, beloved, when you can't track God, that's when you need to trust him. If you can't track him, go back and find out, what can I do to trust him? Because love started this thing, so love is going to finish it. I am persuaded that he who has begun the work, he will finish it. See, I'm confident of this very thing. I'm confident of this. How is it possible then that I would even come to a place of losing? I'm confident that he who has begun the work, he's going to finish it. This is the way that Adam lived. Adam, name all the animals. Okay, that's what you started, Lord. You started the transition for me to name animals. Well, since you started that, I can't catch up with all the gnats. And God brought him everything, every living creature. And whatever, you name it then, Adam. How easy is that to live, y'all? That's what he called us to. See? His plans never included failure for you. That's not a provision that he has for you. He always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. I mean, you just look at that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? I mean, these are his plans. This is what love has, eternal love, everlasting love thinks. Okay? This is what we should be meditating on. Verse 57. Watch this. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, which makes you work for the victory. He said he does what? Give it to you. Why? Because that was his original intent. That's what he did with Adam. Adam, this is what I want you to do. I want to make sure you have victory. I want to make sure you accomplish it, Adam. So I'm going to bring it to you through Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God that does what? Gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, verse 58, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, be ye always abounding in the work that God is bringing to you. Because that's where your victory is going to be seen. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He will not allow you to receive instructions from him and not be able to execute those instructions. He will not allow it. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, that's just the spiritual stuff. He was talking about going out and testifying. Okay, Adam named all the animals. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He always causes you to triumph. See, I understand and appreciate the spiritual connotation, but it also works in the natural because he wants you to win. He's made you more than a conqueror, not sometimes a loser. See? He really wants us to get the concept of winning every time. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. These are just the thoughts that he's bringing to you so that you can get it, so that you can understand it. When Paul was writing this, he had issues. There were some things that wasn't going right. But watch Paul's response to the conditions. All right. He says, I want you to know something in verse 11. First of all, he says, I don't want Satan to take advantage of you because we're not ignorant of his devices. So then if I don't know what God is doing, then I become ignorant and the devil takes advantage of me when I'm ignorant. Lest the devil should have get an advantage. How does the devil get an advantage in verse 11? He says he gets it through ignorance. Okay? So then if I want to remove ignorance, how do I remove ignorance? I remove ignorance by studying to show myself approved, a workman unto God that will not be ashamed. I don't enter information from the position of being ashamed. I enter information from the position of God's everlasting love. See? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live and enter every promise from that position. I don't enter it for frustration. I enter it by the love of God, the everlasting love of God. He says that I don't want the devil to get advantage. So if you want to stop the devil from having an advantage, don't be ignorant of the will of the Lord. For I will not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. So he wants you to know. He says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. He noticed that Paul said, I came here to do it, and because God was the one in it, he opened a door unto me. He did not ask me to do something when the door was not open. Just come on, let's make it easy. See, sometimes some people went, some people were sent. See? If you would wait till you are sent, he will open the door. If you just went, I don't know what you're going to get. I had no rest in my spirit because I didn't find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Because you got to remember, Jesus came to him in a dream and told him to go there. Okay? So then if he told you to go there, it doesn't matter what opposition, he will open the door. And he promised some things about doors. He says that if he opens the door, no man is able to shut it. Okay? And then in verse 14, he says, now, because I think this way, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He always causes us to triumph. See, if I wait on the Lord, if I allow love to be alive in my heart, then my life is going to become sensitive to what God is doing, and the doors will be open because of the sensitivity to the Spirit, not because of the demand of the flesh. He always causes me to triumph in Christ, and he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He makes manifest how sweet and pleasant this directed life is. And this knowledge of a sweet love, eternal love-led life, he shows you how sweet that should be. And he wants to make that manifest in every place. This is the will of God for us. Okay? And he says, because we are sweet savor of Christ in them first that are saved and in them that perish. This stuff is so good that sinners will say, it's just a good life. I smell good right there. That if I don't get them to become interested, they can't taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to give them a better aroma before they can have a taste. If I'm walking around mad all the time, disgusted because I don't get along with people, I love to preach, but I can't stand people. See? People just so hard-headed. No, I've got to have a different fragrance that I'm releasing for them. I can't be mad. I cannot be judgmental of the people I've been sent to. Because I am supposed to be a sweet savor of Christ. First in those that are saved, because they appreciate my ministry, and I'm supposed to be a sweet savor of Christ in those that perish.
Say,
to one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many, some of the people who corrupt the word of God. How will they corrupt the word of God? Because of the smell that's in their heart, the disdain that they have for the way people get things done. If you were saved, you wouldn't do that. No, I need to have a sweet smell so that they would come to the place where they say, you know what, even though I don't want this Jesus, it smells so nice. I can now taste and see. But we're not the ones that many. And notice he said, a lot of people do this. Come on, y'all. He didn't say we were not a couple of people. He said, we are not as many that do what? They corrupt the word of God by their lifestyle, not just by words of their preaching. We used to call them God's chosen frozen, because they did not invite people into the life that God left for us to enjoy. They invited people into a bunch of rules and regulations. And people don't want that. People want to go to a place because they were created in a space that was full of life. They don't want to go to a place that's full of death. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God. They should see the love of God in you. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts, not the life of frustration, rules, and regulations. And a lot of times we have presented, remember, your life the way he told you to dress it and keep it. The way you present it is the way you're going to live it. But we're supposed to be those that do not corrupt the word of God. We're supposed to be those that have sincerity. We have confidence that he who has begun a good thing, he will complete it. We have sincerity that whatever I've committed unto him, I know that that thing is going to get done by him. See, I'm not one that's questioning and then trying to excuse my questions because you don't know no better. But no, every time I open my mouth, I'm going to open it up as God, in the sight of God, I will speak in Christ. See, I mean, these things are what God is asking us to do. See, because God is love, and he should be presented by love, from the position of love. Not because I'm mad and frustrated, because love never fails. Love is a person, not an emotion. Because 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. It didn't say God has love. He said God is love. Remember, love started the whole thing. The person and character of love is going to be the same from the start to the end. What he started, he will finish. He won't quit, cave in, or give up. We might quit, but he won't, because he doesn't change. Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. That's why you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. See? So he's asking us to allow love to be so solid on the inside of us that every time the devil knocks, love answers. See, there is no difference between what God says and what we say. That's why when we put on the whole armor of God, the devil don't know who's in there, because it's God's armor. But when he knocks and he sees frustration or fear, he know God ain't in there. And that's why he gives us the ability to win even when we are unsure, because he says we're supposed to take the garment of praise, and the garment of praise fills up between where you are and where God would be. See, that's why if you open your mouth, he will fill it with praise. Because then he can say, this person can walk in my armor and execute righteousness by my spirit. So then the devil has to back off because all he sees is armor that is being used correctly. But if he doesn't see love being released, that armor is not, it's not positioned correctly on that saint. Because that saint is displaying fear and frustration and worry and anxiety because of how people are treating them. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. You're not going to see me one day, one way today and another way tomorrow. See, we've got to display. That's why we are supposed to manifest the sweet savor of Christ. We're supposed to bring that to the forefront. People are supposed to see that. And when they see that, they will then glorify God. They will see our good works. See, and then they will glorify God. They will say of a truth, the Lord is here. But that's not the way we have displayed the love of God. We've been those that would hold it back and corrupt the word. Well, it don't take all that. Probably takes all that and some more. Well, God knows my heart, and he's trying to get you to change your heart. But you won't spend enough time with him, being intimate with him, so then you are the ones that are impersonal. You are a cold laborer, frigid laborer. You're not hot on fire for God because your God is a consuming fire from the loins up and from the loins down. So then if you're going to represent him, there should be the fire of the Holy Ghost on your life, burning away everything that the devil would try to trap you with. And you will know that not for a certainty, he who has begun a good work, he's going to finish it in me. He's not going to leave me to the wolves. See? He's going to be with me. If I'm going to go through the fire, that's okay. He'll be with me in the fire. See, I can count on that. I don't even have to try to get out of the fire. As long as he's in there with me in the fire, I won't even smell like smoke when I come out. I'm guaranteed to come out because love doesn't fail. That's what caused those Hebrew boys to know that it doesn't matter, okay? It don't matter. If we don't come out, okay, know this, we're not going to serve you. We're going to serve God. And then the king said, wait a minute, hold on. Didn't I throw 3 men into fire? That was 7 times harder. Yes, king, you got to. Well, how come I see 4 men walking around in the fire and there's no hurt on them? How come that is? See, those are people whose heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. They shall not be moved. See, love establishes your heart. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. See, because he's always going to cause me to triumph. He's going to give me the victory. And then as he gives me the victory, then the manifest savor of his knowledge will be known by us in every place. There will be a testimony given that, okay, no God can deliver after this sort. Their God is God. The king wouldn't have known Jesus if he'd have slapped him in the face. But the king said, I see 4 men walking around, and the 4th man is likened unto the king, the Son of God. God will show up in your situation so great that the enemy that you were facing will know that God just delivered you. Glory to God. That's what we're supposed to walk in, beloved. We're supposed to be so settled in that love because that love is eternal. That love was here from the beginning. It was and is to come. So then when I'm connected to that love, my future is guaranteed. I'm gonna get this, and I'm gonna just quit. Romans chapter 8. And these are interesting things that we see here. Romans chapter 8. Very good. And like I say, I think about it from a different perspective. Okay? Because I want to apply it in my life. I want to see God's glory in it. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Paul was dealing with things and people and how they thought. And he was trying to get them to stop having confidence in the flesh. And he did it by giving examples that were very poignant there. And he says this to us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So since the problem was my thinking, my flesh thinking, I've got to bring that under subjection. And I bring it under subjection to the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And that law would have to be the law of love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That would be the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, because that law was here from the beginning. God is love, not God has love. That would be the law that came from the very beginning. Love made everything. Without the Word, and that Word was love. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is love. And the Word was with God. That's love. And the Word was God. That's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the Word sent was love. That would be the law of the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? Has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Why was it weak through the flesh? Because we choose love sometimes and sometimes we don't. And when we don't, the weakness that presents gives the devil an advantage because we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. That's how he gets advantage. When we disregard love, you shall love the Lord your God with all, with all, with all, and your neighbor as yourself. But when we become ignorant of that law, then the devil takes advantage of us. For what the law, this is the part I love right here. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I love that because he condemned sin in the flesh. The ability to think lower than you should think, to be without a portion. That's the first definition of sin. So when you think lower than you should, you're going to be without your portion. And he said, Jesus came to show you that you can always think that love will win every time. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's why, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life, if you would think about it from that perspective, is to love all the time, every time. So then what does love say? What does love require? See, because if I'm going to look after my own things, I'm not thinking about love. And since I'm not thinking about love, it is now weak through my flesh, and that weakness is going to give Satan an advantage because now I'm going to, from that weakness, begin to accuse even God of not loving me, even though he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. See, we just don't understand that the strength of love is stronger than the law of sin and death, because it's been condemned by the love of God in the body of Jesus. So then the law of the Spirit of Christ in life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus gives us new steps to walk in, new thoughts to think, a new vision that's birthed in the everlasting love of God. This is what he's trying to get us back to. Because love is what started it. Love is what's necessary for us to bring it to victory. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. Your way or love's way. God's waiting on you to abandon thoughts that become selfish, cold, and don't allow God's love to be developed. Don't allow God's faith that works by his love to be released and then bring forth that which is already here for you to enjoy in the earth. He has given you all things richly to enjoy. But the choice is yours. Father, we just thank you and we just bless you for this love that you shed abroad in our hearts, for this love that never fails, that never quits, never gives up on us, the love that is unrelenting in expressing your divine image to us so that we can walk in steps that are preordained for us, steps of victory, because every victory is wrought by love. Thank you, Father, for showing this to us again, so that we can abandon thoughts that do not allow your love to be displayed and developed in our heart. Thank you, Father, that repentance can take place, because it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to the place of repentance, so that we can then experience and release love for victory. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. As we call you Abba, Father, as we are obedient children, we choose to walk in the eternal, everlasting love of God. We ask and receive it as done in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was and is to come. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up lines for commentary on tonight's teaching. First caller is area code 470-470. You have the mic.
Amen. Welcome to the call, 470. Hallelujah. Glad you're on the call. What's the next numbers in the exchange, Brother Mike? 470. The next numbers? All right.
470-418. I'm sorry.
Again. 470-418.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Again, amen. We are glad that you're on the call, and we would like for you to participate, but we're not going to mandate it. So we're just glad that you are on the call. All right, Brother Mike, who's next?
Area code 312-330.
All right. Area code 312. Go ahead. You have the mic.
Hello?
Yes,
okay,
go ahead.
I just want to say God bless you all in Jesus' name. I thoroughly enjoyed the teaching today, and I do have a few comments. I actually wrote them down today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You talked about faith, and I just want to say that every one of us can recall instances in our life where God did something that was extraordinary,
yes,
that we couldn't do on ourselves. And not only that, not one time, it repeats itself over and over and over again. So the faith that we're supposed to have is often hindered by unbelief.
Sure.
We read the Bible and we think that the things that we read happened to the people long ago or happened in Jesus' time. But the fact of the matter is, those things are happening to us as we live in Britain. And God just pointed something out to me about miracles. We all get miracles in our lives. But even when Jesus was in the garden and Peter cut off Malchus' ear.
Right.
And then he picked the ear up and put it back on Malchus' body, on his head.
Yeah.
And yet the people looking straight at the miracle, did not believe. And it says he could do no mighty work. This is what the scripture says. He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. So it's important that as you read the scriptures, you discard anything and everything else, and you just lock onto that. That's the truth. It has to be real.
Correct.
And the next thing I was going to say was we have to love people into the kingdom. You talked about that. You are absolutely right. We have to love them into the kingdom. And it's not condemning them. It's not condemning anybody. It's just loving them. And all the time, though, love is not saucy. A lot of times it has a bite. Okay, and the last thing I wanted to say comes from the book of Genesis, where you were. And when God drove the man out of the garden, and when the man was supposed to come back and do sacrifice and to offer his oblations to God, even though God had put man in the garden at first, when Cain came with the things that he had grown in his garden, which God had blessed him to do, but that was not the offering that he was supposed to bring. So even though things were a certain way at a certain time, God wants to sacrifice from the heart and what he wants. It's not what we just want to give him. It's not our comfort zone. Most of the time, it is not our comfort zone. Okay, and that was all I wanted to say. And again, I just thank you so much for being there.
Thank you. It's interesting that our offerings sometimes are not even a sacrifice, because we give out of our comfort, and that's not a sacrifice. If I've got it to give and I just give because I got it to give, then where was the sacrifice in that? So where am I honoring God? I'm not. See, because the heart is just saying, okay, I'm supposed to do it. It's not out of obligation. If we're going to do it out of obligation, then we enter back into works, and no man can be justified by works. So that's just, those are some real points. God is always interested in the heart that he created to be offered back to him, not a part of it. He said all of it. So it's just some things to think about. Selah on that. Amen. Brother Mike.
Amen. All right. Our next and last caller for the evening, area code 678-677.
Okay, 678-677. Amen. You have the mic. 678-677. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Mike, we can go ahead and close it up. And that's just good. Let's get serious about allowing the love of God to be the motivator in our life. Because if we don't allow the love of God to be our motivator, then the devil will use our fears and to destroy us. That will become our detonator, and we'll get things blown up instead of us enjoying it. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he uses whatever the opposite of love is. Fear is the opposite of love. If you want to get to the place where you function in love, then you've got to remove fear. So let's not let him blow up stuff. Let's walk in truth and love. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. Also, if you wanted to check out any of the teachings offered as well, you can go to our YouTube channel and just search for Emmett Overton, and there you'll be able to catch some of the broadcasts as well there. And with that being said, folks, thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Shalom, and if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.